Let's start again from Perek Lamed. Okay, we just began Perek Lamed. Let's review the few psukim. So Perek Choftes discussed how Chizkiyahu became king and he cleansed the Beis Hamikdash from Avodah Zarah. That's step one. Step two. Now that the Mikdash has been cleansed, it's time to offer the Korban Pesach. Let us remake a new covenant with Hashem. Let's renew our relationship with Hashem. Let's offer a communal Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach was the first Korban the Klal Yisrael offered at the time when we became a nation in Mitzrayim. And once again, we mentioned yesterday, we find in Tanakh every significant period of time when Klal Yisrael came together to unify in going to a new stage in their relationship with Hashem. It was done through a Korban Pesach. Here as well, Chizkiyahu wants to bring the entire Klal Yisrael together through a Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach, more so than any other Korban, represents the idea of rejection of Avodah Zarah. Because in Mitzrayim, where the Torah told Hashem, told Klal Yisrael to bring Korban Pesach, the words were Mishchu which Chazal da'ashim, Mishchu yideche min Avodah Zarah, withdraw from Avodah Zarah and offer korbanos instead to Hashem. The Seh was the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim, and Klal Yisrael umoys the nefesh by tying the Seh, the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim, to their bedposts for 4 days. And nothing happened to them. So here as well, especially, it really fits well this time where Chizkiyahu is coming in the aftermath of Ochaz, where they were over the Avodah Zarah. He's telling them to reject Avodah Zarah and come close to Hashem and serve Hashem by bringing a carbon. I just want to point out that it's not the only type of carbon. We know that Korban Pesach can come from a Seh or a Gedi. A Gedi, l'chor, has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. We once spoke about this on a Friday. We were in Mitzrayim, everyone brought a Seh. And yet when Yaakov, when he prepared for his father Yitzchak, the mat'amin, so that Yitzchak should bless him, it says, Beferish and Rashi, Beferish and the Pasuk, that he brought a Gedi. He brought a Gedi, where Gedi is not Avodah Zarah. Because a Korban Pesach can be either a Keves, or a Gedi, or a Seh. But seemingly the general theme of Pesach is to withdraw from the Zohar and come close to Hashem, and that is what he's telling them to do. So let's begin the Pesukim again one more time very quickly. Pasuk Lamed, Vayishlach Yechizkiyahu al kol Yisrael v'Yehuda. He sent messengers to Yisrael v'Yehuda. The Gami sent also Igrois Kosav al Ephraim u'Menashe lavo l'deis Hashem b'Yushalayim lasos Pesach l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Pasuk Beis, Vayivoatz HaMelech v'Sarav v'Chol HaKohol. Three people took part in a discussion. They took counsel. They had a debate. They had a discussion. Three different categories. It's important to note it says the word Sarav. I mentioned this yesterday. I found more information about this coming up in a few psukim. But let's take note now in this pasuk, there are three different categories of people that contributed, that participated in this forum. There was a forum. There was a convention where the king, the Sarav, which simply means the Sanhedrin, the Chol HaKohol, and the assembly, B'Yushalayim, they decided Lasos HaPesach B'Chodesh HaShani, to make Pesach in the second month, which, as we explained yesterday, which would have been Iyar. That's when they're going to celebrate the Korban Pesach. How could they possibly celebrate Pesach in Iyar? It's forbidden. It's Shchut Echutz. It's Chulim Azara. The answer is, we're going to make the first month the Adar Sheni. And by making the first month Adar Sheni, Mimela, the second month will become the Chodesh HaRishon. This was the idea. Kilo Yochlu Lasos, what was the reason why Chizkiyahu wanted to do this? We're going back in time to what happened really in Perek Aleph. Kilo Yochlu Lasos HaPesachi. It was impossible to have made the Korban Pesach B'Tahara in the first month. Ki HaKohanim Lo Hiskachu L'Madai. They were not sufficient enough Kohanim. L'Madai is Dai. Enough Kohanim to do the Avodah. And the people would not arrive on time. The people would not come to the Beis Hamikdash on time, and therefore, we had no choice to delay. Pasuk Dalid, Vayishar Hadavar B'Enei HaMelech U'Ve'Enei Kol HaKohol. An incredible diak. All Mepharshim say, who was the one that gave the okay? Who voted in favor? The Melech and the Kohol. What about the Sarim? The Sarim also present in this convention. Pasuk, yeah, that's the Sarav. That's the symbol understanding of the word Sarav. Pasuk Beis. Go back to Pasuk Beis. Vayivoatz HaMelech V'Sarav V'Kol HaKohol B'Yushalayim. There were three groups of people who participated in this this discussion, the king, the Saraf, and the Kohol. Pasuk Dalet, who gave, who voted in favor? Vayishar hadavar be'enei hamelech uve'enei kol hakohol. What about the Saraf? The Saraf said, no, we disagree. We hold that you should not be ma'aber the shana. It is wrong. Now, what was their reasoning? L'chayra Chizkiyo was right. We need everyone is tameh. The mikdash is tameh. The kohanim are tameh, and Klal Yisrael will not arrive on time. So the answer is, well, we know the basic answer. It was already Chodesh Nisan. That's what the Gemara says. Being that it was already Chodesh Nisan, you could have all of the best reasons to be Ma'abir the Shana. It's too late. Too little, too late. Once Chodesh Nisan has arrived, you can't go backwards and declare a month that already has been sanctified as Nisan as Adar Sheni. Another reason given is there are different guidelines of when Bezin is allowed to be Ma'abir the Shana. One of the reasons given in the Gemara is when people are traveling, they have made aliyah, they're traveling, and then there is a delay. The roads are muddy. There's traffic, gridlock alert. There's traffic, and they're stuck. They can't proceed. They're not able to actually make it towards their destination. So then the Bezin has the right to say, you're traveling, you got stuck on the road. You know what? People already began to travel, let's say, after Purim, after the 15th day of Adar, and now they're on the road, they're stuck. So you know what? We'll make this Adar Risha, we'll make an Adar Sheni, and that way you'll have plenty of time. By the time you arrive, you'll have plenty of time. But here's the very big condition. If people have not yet departed, they were lazy, they held back, they have not yet departed, they're sitting in their house, and they're planning on leaving, and now they first realize that the bridge is down, or there's a problem with the roads. So Bezin wants to step in and to extend the year to give people more time. That is not a legitimate excuse to be Ma'aber the Shana. To Ma'aber the Shana, you already need to be on the road when the problem arises, and now Bezin will give you an additional month. But if you have not yet departed, and just you want now more time before you depart, that's not a legitimate excuse. That's another reason why the Sanhedrin objected. Because the people here did not yet depart. They needed first encouragement to come. Chizkiyo said, we need to encourage them. It'll take us some, we'll need some promotion, you know, we need to do some marketing. We need some marketing to explain to them Pesach across Israel. We need to convince them that it's a good idea to come to Yerushalayim. A third reason why is because the Sanhedrin says, what's the big deal? If the majority of Klal Yisrael is Tamei, Toma Hutra B'tzibur. What are you going to accomplish? You're going to give them a month, so people will be mitired, they'll cleanse themselves, they'll go to mikvah, they'll remove the vodzara. You don't need to come on to that. Toma Hutra B'tzibur. If the majority of Klal Yisrael are in a state of Toma, you're allowed to bring karbanos. So they were telling Chizkiyo, take advantage. This is a very interesting, a whole different approach. Take advantage of the situation. Don't let time is not on your side. You're the king. Achaz has died. You've dragged his bier in the street on a bed of ropes. Everyone sees what you've done. There's a certain momentum building. Now, right away, bring the Karban Pesach. Seize the moment. What do you want to do? You want to wait a month because you think in a month from now you'll be able to recruit more people and you'll be mitired the mikdash from the tzumah. People become tar. You might yotza schara behefsedo. It might not be to your advantage. Right now you're the king. You've already created an incredible excitement. They felt it would be better to seize the moment, bring the Karban Pesach now with as many people who are willing to participate, and even though they're Tommy, that's okay, Tumer Hutra B'tzibur, and don't delay another month. It might be worse. You might not have the same impact. So obviously there was a lot going on. We have over here three different reasons why the Sanhedrin objected to Chizkiyo, but Chizkiyo who won. Chizkiyo who was the king, obviously he had enormous power, executive privilege. I don't know exactly how that works with Sanhedrin and with the king, but the bottom line is he pushed his way through, but that's why the pasuk only says in the pasuk dal vayishar hadavar b'enei hamelech uve'enei kol hakohol, and not in the eyes of the sarav. That word is missing. Pasuk hey vayamidu davar, and they established, they sent out a proclamation. They established the following matter: to send out a message throughout the entire Klal Yisrael, Mibe'er Sheva V'Yadon, from one end to the other end, from the two borders, the two extremes of Eretz Yisrael, Lavo Lasos Pesach Lashem Elokei Yisrael Birushalayim Ki Lo Larov Osu Kakosu, because they have not done Larov in many years. It's been decades since they have fulfilled what it says in the Torah. Kilolu of not in an abundance of years. Also, have they done kakosuv what was required of them to do as was written in the Torah? Pasuk Zayin Vayelchu Haratzim Biigros. The Ratzim, the runners, we have like in the Megillah. The Ratzim, the runners, travel with the letters Miyad Hamelech from the hand of the king of Visarav Bechol Yisrael. Interesting, it says here Visarav. And if you want to be consistent, so it means the Sanhedrin, it basically means the Sanhedrin at the end, even though they voted in negative, they voted no, but since Chizkiyahu forced it upon them, they had no choice but to comply, and once already it's going to be, they had to join the...
They probably had to sign the letter.
They had to sign a letter. Like I don't know how this works in Congress, but I heard like in Eretz Yisrael, I don't know, I was listening to some history tapes from Rabbi Przanski, and he's saying that in the Knesset, something used to, at least to be years ago, when they would have a major decision, and it would be a close vote. It would be a close vote. So let's say they would win by one vote. So then they would vote again. And when they would vote again, the minhag was, everyone would vote for the majority. Because it should come out, send the message, even though secretly when they voted... You take a vote, right? So let's say there are 10 people in the room and you're voting. 6 people vote in favor and 4 people vote negative, not to do this. So what's the bottom line? The bottom line is, we're going to do it. But if you tell the country that we're going to do it because only a majority of 6-4, you send a bad message. The people in the country feel they'll do it half-heartedly. It has an effect on everyone. Yeah, look, listen, the Knesset, the leadership, they're not so. So secretly, you vote 6-4, you win. So, since anyway we're going to win, we might as well let the people know that it was unanimous. And the Nochmal, they would vote again, and this time the 4 people would vote in favor. Yeah.
Every political convention.
They do that?
Then there's a nominee, and then after that they declare a unanimous
vote. So this is obviously very common. So that's really what it seems to be saying here. If you read between the lines, I'm just saying a drush, that's what it seems to think over here. First it says there was a debate. Who's participating in the debate? Pasuk Beis, the Melech, the son of the Chol Kahol. Then it came to a vote. The vote was who? HaMelech uveinei HaKahol. The Sanhedrin said, no, we disagree. Now, okay, they disagree, but the king won, because the king obviously pushed it through. So what happened now? Pasuk Vav, Vayelchu Haratzim Beigros Miyad HaMelech Visarav and the Sarav. So when they sent out the message, the Sanhedrin had to participate. Yeah.
2 points back.
Yes.
If the halacha was wrong,
yeah,
the Sanhedrin wouldn't have been maskim.
They were not maskim, it appears.
Number one, going back, the pasuk says Vayishar Hadavar Beinei HaMelech. Why didn't it say Vayitav? Vayishar is the word of Yosha.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And the whole Am, you had, that's number three is, we said there were years, there must have been 40 years they didn't hold Pesach.
Yeah.
So now there was a chance, either if you didn't make this, you wouldn't have Pesach another year.
Okay.
So it was...
Well, not necessarily. There will be Pesach, Bibetumah. Whoever would come, would bring the Korban Pesach in a...
It wasn't a worry of
Tumah
of the Kahan. They just weren't enough ready for it.
So whatever they would make do whatever they would do. That's not enough. In the Chanami, so maybe not everyone would...
We also say Baravam Hadas Melech.
Well, that was the issue. That appears to be, there's a lot more going on behind the scenes, as I tried to mention. There was a certain, perhaps the idea was, besides the halakhic issues, that it's already Chodesh Nisan and you can't go backwards. And besides the halakhic issue is that it's not a legitimate excuse because they never even people can begin to come. And there's no problem of Tumah. But perhaps there was also some idea that seize the moment. You know, you became king. There are things that are going in your favor. Take advantage of them.
You know, the whole Gemara that says that we're Marava because of the Hel Chirega.
Yeah.
We're talking now, let's say, 300 years after they came into Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah.
We're only talking about Yehuda.
Not 300 years. I think a lot more. We're talking
700 years. Yeah. You're talking about only Yehuda, because Yisrael was already disintegrated.
Right.
So you weren't talking about people coming or the regal from Babylon. You
know, right, right. Only Eretz Yisrael. There's no one in Golos. Right.
Takanas of the Gemara about the Yehuda and the Mayim was much later.
Aha.
We didn't have the Gemara.
Okay. Right, but that's really what the Mepharshim say here, is that the whole issue of being Ma'abir is only when there's a delay. People already start coming and there's a delay. But when there's people have not even started to come. Here his complaint was, people don't want to come. They're not interested. I need to encourage them.
They never had this.
Yeah, the people of the new generation, they grew up not knowing what Pesach was. He needed to educate the people. And the Sanhedrin says, that's not an excuse. Education is not an excuse to delay Pesach. Next year, they'll be educated, but this year you shouldn't delay. Yeah.
Why couldn't this have been resolved by using Pesach Sheni as the...
No, Pesach Sheni is only for individuals. Pesach Sheni is only operational if there's a Pesach Rishon. If the majority of Klal Yisrael does not observe Pesach Rishon, no one brings a carbon on Pesach Sheni. That's a rule in Masechta Pesachim. Pesach is for individuals.
The way it works, for example, when they come with these new takanas, they put up a sign that says, there's a new, being machmana now, the women have to walk on the side of the street, signed by the interested parties.
Who are the interested parties?
Anonymous. At the stage, it comes out the vav, and when the response is positive, they come out with a sign that's signed by the bezin. Bezin said it.
This is corruption.
This is the way it works in the Eretz Yisrael. In the beginning, the king had a meeting with the advisors, and they didn't agree, and they liked the idea, and they decided, they finally put up the sign.
And they forged all the signatures. They forged the signatures of the... So you're saying over here that it says in Pasuk Vav, they forged their signatures. They sent out letters.
But by that time, they saw the crowd was going for it, so they jumped on the...
They had no choice. He forced it upon them, and this now became the halacha, even though they were not happy with the halacha. They had no choice. Like we mentioned before, the worst thing that can happen in Klal Yisrael is where people are observing different days in the calendar for the holidays. One of the greatest miracles, Bizman Hazeh, is that every single member of Klal Yisrael is still keeping the same calendar. Everything else is different, but at least we keep the same calendar. That was something that they were sensitive to in this point in time. The Sada B'chol Yisrael, Melech Lemar, as according to the committee of the king, saying, B'nei Yisrael, Shuvu, he gave a command, was the committee telling him, do Shuva. Shuvu El Hashem. Return to Hashem. Elokei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yisrael. Notice Yisrael, not Yaakov, because the Divrei Hayamim, and Divrei Hayamim Yaakov is always called Yisrael, a motivational idea that of Kisodisa im Elokim v'Anoshim v'Atuchol, that we have prevailed. V'Yoshov El Hapleita Hanesheres Lochem. May Hashem return. El means here, like S. May Hashem restore the exiles, because at this point in time already Sancheriv had already exiled five of the Shvatim, as we mentioned last perek. Five of the Shvatim have already been exiled, so he's begging, if you will do tshuva, if you will do, he's giving them encouragement that it's not all is lost. If you will tshuva, Hashem lekei Avraham Yitzchak Yisrael, then Hashem will have compassion upon Klal Yisrael, and your relatives, the five Shvatim, will come back. The Yashov el hapleita hanesheres lochem, they will return, the pleita, the remnant. Yeshua means that the exiles will return el hapleita hanesheres lochem. They will return from their exiles to the remnants, to the seven tribes that are here in Eretz Yisrael. Mika, from the palm of Malchi Asher, of the hand of Asher. So he's telling them that there is still hope. Not all is lost. Pasuk Zayin. The Al told them to not be stubborn. The Al tiyu ka'avoisechem uch v'cha'achechem. Hashem walu b'Hashem. Do not be like your fathers and like your brothers who have transgressed. Hashem lo ka'avoisechem. And due to the rebellion against Hashem, Hashem has given them over to destruction. Like you see that five of the Shvatim have been exiled. Now, do not be stiff-necked people. Your oirif, do not turn your back to me and show me your oirif, the back of your head. Do not become like a stiff-necked people. Extend your hand to Hashem. Show that you're willing to do tshuva. hikdish la'olam ve'ivdu es Hashem elokeichem, and serve Hashem your God v'yashov michem, and it will go back, it will turn away from you charoi napo Hashem's anger ki b'shuvchem al Hashem, because when you return to Hashem then ki b'shuvchem al Hashem achichem uvneichem l'rachamim l'fnei shoveihem. Hashem will have compassion. Okay, ki v'shuvchem, this pasuk is a mikra chaser. You have to get some words to the pasuk to explain on the pasuk. Ki v'shuvchem al Hashem, when you do tshuva and you return to Hashem, then achichem uvneichem l'rachamim l'fnei shoveihem, Hashem will influence Melech Ashur to have compassion upon your children. And Hashem will influence Asher to allow them to return to this land. Ki chanun v'rachum Hashem elokeichem, v'lo yosir ponim mikem, he will not turn his face away from you. Im toshuvu elav, if you will return to Hashem. That there's a lot going on in these circles. According to the Mefarshim, what's happening over here is he's telling them, the reason why he's telling them to not be stiff-necked people is because he's telling them to have charata from Yeravam ben Nevat. What he's really doing over here is trying to unify the Malchus. No longer should there be two different kingdoms in Klal Yisrael. The Malchus of Yehud and the Malchus of Yisrael. The Malchus of Yisrael separated through Rechavam, and at the time of Rechavam, through Yeravam ben Nevat. And what did they do? They made their own holidays. And they built their own Beis HaMikdash in Beis Sel and Don. And they offered karbanos. He's being very clear here and telling them, come back and serve Hashem, Pasuk Ches in the middle, Uvahu leMikdasho Asher Hikdish leOlam. This is explosive words. He's telling them, you people there in the Malchus, the remnants of the Malchus of Yisrael, namely Ephraim and Menashe. I remember Ephraim was the capital of the Malchus of Yisrael. Yerov ben Avod came from Shevet Ephraim. The whole Malchus of Yisrael is called by Shevet Ephraim. You are offering sacrifices on an altar that is a fraud. That's a fake. There is only one place that's holy forever, and that is the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, and now is your chance to do tshuva, to abandon your mistake and come back to Hashem. And that's why he begins this whole letters with being sent to Be'er Sheva V'Yadon. Why Be'er Sheva V'Yadon? Because that's where the two places, that's where the two places were. That's where the two locations where they put their altar in Beis Sel and Don. That's where
the borders,
and this is specifically referring to the remnants, the remnants of the Malchus of Yisrael. He's pleading with them, don't be stubborn. You've made a mistake. You've been doing the wrong thing for the last 150 years. I know it's hard for you to recognize that for 150 years you've been doing sins and you've been misled, but you have to come to terms. You have to recognize, look with your own eyes. You've been exiled. Five of the Shvatim have already been exiled. Do you want the rest of your brothers to be exiled? There's still hope for those who have been exiled as well. They can still come back if you only do tshuva. That's the deeper meaning which is going on. He's pleading with them that you have to do tshuva, forget about Yeravam ben Nevat, forget about these make-believe bases. I mean, they should build and do tshuva to Yerushalayim.
Okay, let, one second. Yeah. I just in reference to what you said, the Lashon Vayishar, the Malbim says, when the Malbim makes a point, pointing out that it says Vayishar as opposed to
Vayitav.
Vayitav.
And what is it?
Because it says, if you notice, the other Lashon in the Pasuk, Le'inei Kahal Yisrael, if it meant the Sanhedrin agreed, in other words, Kahal Yisrael means the masses, not the leaders. Ziknei Ho'eda means the Sanhedrin. So since it wasn't Ziknei Ho'eda and it says Kahal Yisrael, it wouldn't say Vayita because the leaders did not agree. So it says Vayishar the masses. Like, you know, it's like what you were alluding to or said, that it wasn't that. So the whole is two differences in the Lashon. Vayishar
goes with Kahal Yisrael. It's a weaker language than Vayita.
The wisdom of the masses.
Yeah.
When you're saying to Dun,
yeah,
it's also a question of the ends justify the means. He needed everybody to come back because, let's say, he made a thing which was a sotek with the Ibra Chayit. If everyone would come to the Pesach, it would be kedai for him to do it.
Yeah.
So he actually wrote a very nice
letter,
gorgeous letter with the tshuva and I'll help you. and he spread it all as far as he could so that every single person would come. So that he would be right.
That's who showed the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is that they would have been kedai. If the whole Klal Yisrael would participate, then even the Sanhedrin would be maskim. It would have been worth it. But if only Yehuda and Binyamin would participate, then the Sanhedrin would be right. So he's trying to show them that I'm really right, and that's why I need the entire Klal Yisrael.
Motivate the whole
place. Right. Okay. Very good. Now there's another important idea that the Mefarshim point out is that David HaMelech was the one who was Hakim established the oil of tshuva, a famous chazal. We don't know what a chazal means. Kol ha'imer David chata, ein ela toya. So why did he sin? No one knows what this means. In order to teach the world the concept of tshuva, that you can sin and you can do tshuva, Hashem will accept your tshuva. This was David's legacy. What here is Chizkiyahu? Chizkiyahu is the reincarnation of David. He's trying so hard to be the David of the generation. And what is his letter all about? Do tshuva. The opening words of his letter are shuvu, pasik vav, shuvu el Hashem. Do tshuva. Again, this all fits in line with David HaMelech's attempt to be David HaMelech in his generation. Another very important thing is this is the first king since Rechavam that actively tried to unify Klal Yisrael as one. He's here trying to take the other Shvatim. There's you and there's us, there's Yisrael and Yehuda will remain apart. He's actively trying to unify, to bring them back together as one. So let's take a look at the Mesudas of David, starting with Pasuk Aleph, or we've got starting with Pasuk Beis. Bachodesh Hasheni. Hachodesh Hasheni is Iyar. It's the second month. His attempt was, the debate was, that we should make Chodesh Iyar into Chodesh Nisan by making the current month Adar Sheni. Because it would not have been sufficient. It would not have been, we cannot make Pesach now, in the first month, because there are not enough Kohanim L'madai, L'min Dai. Ratzulaymar, Sheyiyye Dai Bohem L'hakrif Kol Yisrael. And in fact, we're going to see, very interesting, just give a little advanced note, we're going to see that even with adding a month, it did not work. Even though he did add another month, there were not enough Kohanim to bring the Karban Pesach, and the majority of Klal Yisrael were still Tameh. So, again, this is not like the previous parak. The previous parak, Parak Chav Tes, we're discussing bringing special karbanos. Karbanos to Mechaviv HaKlal Yisrael, the Siri of Odes Kachavim, or the inaugural karbanos, seven, the four sets of seven. So that, you didn't need that many kohanim. And then when the people wanted to offer oilers, special oilers, private karbanos, we had 36,000. Okay, so that was not an obligation. 3,600. And the other oilers, which was, what was it, three, whatever the numbers were, it was a large number for the time, but there were not enough kohanim, but that was not an obligation for Klal Yisrael. Here, this was a chayv for the entire Klal Yisrael. It was more important, and we're going to see that the end was it didn't work. At the end of the day, even a month later, the majority of Klal Yisrael were still Tameim, and there were not enough kohanim, and things were not perfect. So basically, the Sanhedrin were probably telling the king, you see, we were right. What did you want? You want to add another month? He didn't accomplish anything anyway. Well, that's what we're trying to say. At that point, anyway, they had no choice but say Tum Hotra B'tzibah. But they said, you might as well say it right away, because anyway, giving another one is not going to accomplish very much more. And there is one other very important point that I did note, and that it goes back to Hanukkah. On Hanukkah, we know the miracle took 8 days. We celebrate Hanukkah 8 days because it took 8 days to make Shemen Tar. So why can't they use Shemen Tameh? Famous question. All the Farshim says, Toma Hotra B'tzibar. If they came to the base of Mikdash and they only had Pach Echad, okay. So if one day you light the Neiris and the second day still use Shemen that's Tameh. What's the big deal? Or let's say they would not have found even Pach Echad. Let's say they would have only had, why do we need them to find the Pach Echad Shel Shemen? Toma Hotra B'tzibar. So the answer, classic answer is, that's true. Tum Hotra B'tzibar, when everything is, when you're in business. But for inauguration, for chinuch, for the very first time, no. That you have to be in a state of tahara. So that's what Chizkiyahu was saying. You're right. Tum Hotra B'tzibar. But Klal Yisrael has been out of business for 50 years. The gates were locked. the Karban Pesach is the Chanukah for Klal Yisrael. It's the Chanukah HaMizbeach, the inaugural service to get Klal Yisrael back in business. We have to be in a state of Tahara. We can't use the principle of Tumhot Rebbe Tzibur in this instance. And that's why Chizkiyahu insisted we have to make our best effort to bring it in a state of Tahara. So that's another very important piece of information we have to add to the equation of the dilemma between Sanhedrin and Chizkiyahu, what to do in this situation. Back to the Pasuk Dalit, Vayishar Hadova, Lemala Omar Shahayu Misyatsin, Pasuk Beis, it says, Vayivoatz Hamelech. There was a conference, there was a discussion, a debate. Shaha Omar Shahayu Misyatsin, Dover Vakana, Omar Shahayu Hadova Yosha Bene Kulam. The Eskimu, the Dover Abra Shana, here they finally came to the conclusion, we're going back to the Shana. Pasuk Vayamidu Davar, Gozru Oimer. They decreed a proclamation, Lahachris B'chol Mekom Yisrael, that everyone should come. We're going to Ma'abed Lashon, and everyone should come in 1 month to the Beis Hamikdash to bring the Karban Pesach. Ki loy l'roiv, ki lizman miruba lo asu Pesach kakosu b'toira ulezeh hoya mehatzerich lahazki ulezarzam, and that's why it was necessary to send letters to educate the population, to educate the people that there's something called the Karban Pesach. People did not know this. He then sent letters. Shuvu Hashem. He sent messengers to do tshuva. Abandon the mikdash. Abandon your avodah zara. V'yoshov v'oz yoshov gam v'gam. And if you will do tshuva, you have to add. This is a very hard, hard pasuk. You have to add some more words into the pasuk. Pasuk vav. And the pasuk says is v'yoshov v'oz. If you will do tshuva, Hashem will reciprocate. Hashem will do tshuva. What does that mean to say Hashem will do tshuva? It doesn't make any sense. It means Hashem will restore the exiles. Hashem restoring the exiles, kaviyachol, is the form of Hashem's tshuva. Whatever that means. V'yaz yashuv gam hu el ha-pleito ha-nisheres la'azor lechem. He'll return the la'azor lechem to help you. Hashem will cause that the sheres ha-pleito will come back. The exiles will come back. Bikaf malchi Ashur ki oisam shebe'ever hayardin kvar golu mi'artzam al yidei Ashur. Mitzudas here says only those on the Ever Hayardin, Ruvain, God, Chatzi, Shevet, Menashe, were in exile. We also know that Ephraim and Naphtali were in exile, but not all of Ephraim, only parts of Ephraim, because here it mentions that he sent letters to Ephraim, which means that there were some pockets of Ephraim left over in the land.
You can look on the map to see which ones were
along the Mediterranean, the extremes. The extremes, the extreme were more exposed, so they were easy targets. Pasuk Ches, Tinu Yod, Ratzlava Tiku Kaf Derech Eschaivus, shake hands. I want you to take, to do something formal, to sign a treaty, to shake hands, this handshake, to show that you are serious. Achichem uvnechem, asherheim begoylo yitin oysam hamokim, lerachem lefnei sheveim, loseis lochem, rishus loshuv loritz azos. If you'll do tshuva, Hashem will have compassion upon our cousins, our brothers, our fathers on the, that have been exiled. It's not, all hope is not lost. They will come back. Okay, next, now let's take a look at Rashi, a few short Rashis, starting with Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk Aleph, V'gam Igrois Kosaf El Ephraim Umenashe. I remember Ephraim was the capital of Malchus Yisrael. Shomrin wasn't Shevet Ephraim. Ki Adayin Legolu Ki Zehoya B'Shana B'Shana. So here the Rashi says that Ephraim did not yet go into Golas, because this all took place in the first year of the Malchus of Zedekiyahu. B'Shana B'Shana L'Molchai. V'Yehem Legolu Ki B'Sheish L'Molchai. They went into Golas in the sixth year of the Molchai. Kidul Sivit says Vayil Kedah. It was captured. Shemim was captured B'Ktzei at the end of Shalosh Shanim, after 3 years of a siege. There was a siege for 3 years. The siege concluded B'Sheish Shnas Sheish L'Chizkiyah period. V'hi Shnas Tes L'Hoshea. And who is the current king in Yisrael? Hoshea ben Elah. Hoshea ben Elah was the king. Hoshea Melech Yisrael Kasher Tim Sokos B'Soif HaSefer, like we're going to find at the end of the Sefer. Pasuk Gimel Ki Lo Yachol Lasos Beis Ahi. He told them, we must be Ma'aber the Shana. It's too early. We do not have enough time to get ready for Pesach. B'Chodesh Harish Nebenitzen Ki HaKohenem Lo Hiskachu L'Modai Hiskachu L'Yisdai L'Yisrael Bohem. There are not enough Kohanim to assist the Yisraelim. L'Hakrif Pischehem V'Ein Tzorch Lo Mash Lo Hoyu Chol Lasos Benitzen Shere Le Kolu. And it goes without saying that they were not able to do it b'nisan. Sharei lekolu lekadesh sabayis ad yudvav b'nisan. Another reason is because the mikdash itself was defiled. The mikdash itself was full of graffiti. We learned in Avodah Zarah, and it took 16 days to cleanse the mikdash. V'chein pishroin, and this is the interpretation. Ki lo yochlu lasois bo'is ahi kolaymar afilu im lo ikvu taharas habayis. Even if they would not delay the taharas habayis, shaloi kolu ad yudvav b'nisan, lo hayun yinu yicholim lasos ato lefi ki hakohanim lo hiskat shulamodai. So what the pasuk here means that there are two reasons, besides the fact that the mokoim is not ready, the staff is not ready. There are two reasons. Rashi over here is coming to explain what is the pasuk here saying that the Kohanim are not ready. There's a more fundamental reason why they're not ready. It's because the Mikdash, the Mokim, is not ready. So Mechanami, it means even if we would somehow be able to speed up the process and clean the Mikdash, prepare the Mokim, there would be another problem where the Kohanim are not ready. The Amloi Nesu. A third reason why we can't do the Avod is because the people are not here. Adayim kulam liushlaim. He sent letters. Mibersheva v'yadon zeh tchum aseres hashvatim. Rashi says he sent specifically letters to aseres hashvatim. Ki loy lerov pishron ki roiv shanim avru shlo osu kahalchosoy. Many years passed, and they have not offered the pesach according to the law. Pasuk vav. He begged them to.
But his boyfriend did offer some type of carbon.
Kilchasa. Okay, not clear. It could be the different stages. As we learned about the Achaz, it was gradually shut down. There were two mizbechas, the mizbech of Shlomo and the mizbech of Aram.
Or they maybe have brought a carbon pesach on their other carbon.
Okay, could be right in Achanami. So the different dargus of what exactly happened those past years, but it was not kilchasa. Pasuk vav, he begged them to do tshuva, and by doing tshuva they will return Yashav el haplate hanesheres lochem mikaf malchay Asher. Hashem will restore the exiles back to you, back to the remnant, the last seven shvatim, which is called the Pleita, that is living here in Yerushalayim. Hashem will save them from Melech Ashur. So Rashi here is not learning like the Mitzudos. Rashi learns that at this point in time, it's not clear, the different opinions exactly what point in time they were exiled. There were three waves of exile. Rashi learns that at this point in time, they were not yet exiled. Everyone was still living in the land. However, they were already under their rule, their authority. They already invaded. The kingdom of Asher already controlled Eretz Yisrael, had full control over what happened. No one moved around without their permission. And they knew that the plan was to eventually exile the Aseres HaShvatim. So the pasuk is being written, ala osit. It's as if it's already too late. Afal pi shaloi higlu adayin, korei lohem pleita. We're calling the remnants here the pleita. You only call the remnants the pleita when the others have been exiled. So there's exiles, then whoever survived, the survivors are called the pleita. But no one has been exiled yet. So if no one has been exiled, so you can't call the remnant the survivors. Ki hoye nechshav be'einehem, it was considered in their eyes, kasher golu kvar, because they already controlled the land. The yod ki malchi asher tafsu hakol, he explains, yod, I think yod means he's coming to give an explanation, because the king of Asher tafsu hakol b'mei achas, they already seized control of the land in the lifetime of Achaz. Umasha hoye be'einehem ki ilu golu, lefi ki vav shalom hoye yishol lemelech Asher avodim. For 6 years they were slaves, no say mincha, paying tribute. For hoya moishel bohem, Asher ruled the Jewish people, umaylichon begoyla, and would gradually take them into exile. For oisa bohem kiritzonu, and used the Jewish people as he wished. He put them and enslaved them. The zeh yibasoch osan sheishanim, during those first 6 years, the kfar golu kam upamim b'mei malcha Yisrael. And there were many small exiles during the Malchi Yisrael, v'ochas, v'hem yoidim yad, kishe yimidu Yisrael b'melech Asher. They knew good and well, the first time they took a shot, and Melech Asher, yolichem b'goylo, he would immediately exile them, v'lechem karapletas Asher, v'shalom mashal bohem, and that's why we call them the pletas Asher, v'shalom mashal bohem, v'loy b'chol eretz, lefish ulahem koyre pleitas asher lefish shaloi mashal bohem v'loy b'chol eretz Yehuda. The reason why the people of Yehuda are called the pleita is because Melech Asher did not control Yehuda. Yeah. Melech Asher controlled the aseres hashvatim.
Is that what pleita means? I think pleita
remnant, survivors.
I think Plato is referring
to
the Yisrael.
No, he's saying that. He's saying that the Yisrael, they're called the Goyla. The Yisraelim, Malchus Yisrael is the Goyla, and Yehuda and Binyamin, they're the Plato. Look at Rashi. Already many times it happened that small pockets of Jews were exiled Malchus Yisrael. That when the people of Yisrael will fully rebel against Asher, then Asher will take the people of Yisrael into Golos.
Right.
So they are the Goylim, the Malchus. Ulohem Koyre Plato Sashur.
Means Yisrael. Those people in
Yisrael,
he calls them
Plato Sashur. No, I think he's going back, he's referring now to Yehudu, and to them.
The beginning of Rashi says, he's talking about Yisrael. And if you read, as he said before, if you read the Pasuk, L to be S, then it makes a lot of sense.
Velohem kore pleitas Ashur lefi. How do you read these last words then? Velohem kore pleitas Ashur.
Why is it a pleita? Because you have to have two sides. You have to
right. But read the last words.
They're called a pleita because he wasn't Moshe in Eretz Yehuda. So there was the Yehuda and Yisrael separate. People in Yisrael.
But read the last words of Rashi. Lefi shelo moshal bohem veloi b'chol Eretz Yehuda. I see. Saying that there were other people that were exiled. You're saying that until this point of time, okay, I hear you saying. You're saying until this point of Rashi being saying that there were other groups of people in the past that were exiled. So whoever is left now in Yisrael is called the Pleita. Yeah. That's what you want to say. Because it says on the top of the Kvar Golu Kama Pa'amim Bimei Malche Yisrael V'ochos. So there were already people that were exiled. So the survivors are the people that are living now. V'heim yoidim miyad kishayimidu Yisrael b'melech Asher yolichim b'goyla. So the people, the survivors, the people that are still living in the land are called the Pleita, relative to the people in the past who have been exiled.
And relative to the people in Yehuda who are not
exiled. And he's begging them, Chizkiyahu is begging them, do tshuva, and if you will do tshuva, then Hashem will influence Melech Asher to let those people to return back to the Pleitas Yisrael, back to the brothers of Yisrael and the people in Yehuda. Correct, okay.
Asher is already in control of
yes.
much of the country.
Yes.
Is he calling for a national
war?
Festival?
Well,
wait a second. Yeah. For everybody to come in.
Okay. So it's not necessarily Kasha, freedom of religion. Melech Asher at this point in time did not necessarily want to prevent them from worshiping Hashem.
Really?
There were stages.
Any gathering?
No, not necessarily. It was an early stage of conquest. It was an early stage of conquest, and at this point in time, they did not yet interfere with their religious practice. And if you want to come and gather together in the Beis HaMikdash to serve Hashem, obviously at this point in time, it was not illegal. It was not against they allowed you. At a later point in time, obviously, they did not allow this. So let's go for the next Rashi. He's telling them, don't be stubborn. Pisroin, what does that mean? The entire Adayim Beitchem Anu Shialem Aleinu Melech Asher. If you are foolish to think that Melech Asher is going to pick up himself and walk away from here without a fight, Al Tiyu, you're being foolish, you're being stubborn, because that's what your forefathers believed. Al Tiyu Kavasechem Kol Dor V'Dor Shoyilufneihem Ma'ir Alehem. What happened to them? Kisha Ozu Es Hashem Vayimal Bomal, and they transgressed. Vayitneim L'Shama, Hashem delivered them for destruction. Kasha Atem Royim. Ata Pasiches, don't be stubborn. Al Tikshu Arpechem B'shuvchem El Hashem Al Hashem Acheichem Uvneichem. If you will do tshuva B'shuvchem Al Hashem Acheichem Uvneichem, you will arachem B'shuvchem Kama Al Hashem Kama B'shuvchem Al Hashem. When you do tshuva to Hashem, then Achechem uvneichem yihiyu l'rachamim lufnei shoyveihem. Hashem will inspire Melech Asher to have compassion upon your brothers and fathers, v'lashuv, and allow them to return l'oretz hazos. Afilu oisam ketzas shagolu kvar shahayu nilchamim im Yisrael even those few that have been exiled, that were at war with Israel, and they went in captivity, b'shivya, v'yimtashuvu elav, if you will do tshuva to Hashem, yidnim l'rachamim l'fnei shoyvehem l'shuvom li'eretz azos ki chanun v'rachum Hashem elokeichem. Rashi is basically adding words into the pasuk, explaining that the words a little bit cryptic, ki b'shuvchem al Hashem kama, then achichem u'vneichem l'rachamim l'fnei shoyvehem, Hashem will inspire ashur v'loshuv l'eretz azos, those few people that have been exiled, because Hashem, there's nothing that Hashem cannot do. Okay, pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud tells us something very frightening. Pasuk Yud, Vayihu haratzim oivrim me'ir le'ir, be'eretz Ephraim u'Menashe, v'ad zvulun until zvulun, Vayihu maschikim aleihem, and they laughed. They laughed at Chizkiyahu. It was a mockery. U'mal'igim bohem, and they made jokes. They said, there's no way we're coming back. What do you think? Do you think now we're going to do tshuva after 150 years of worshipping the Egel in Basel and Don? We're going to do tshuva and come to Yerushalayim? No way. Ach, however, that was the majority. There were select individuals that did take the message. There were some people from Oshem, Nasha, and Zvulun. Notice, no one from Ephraim. Nichnu'u were ashamed. Nichnu here means, according to the Mitzudos, they were embarrassed. They recognized their sins, and they were humbled at what was happening. Vayovohu liYerushalayim, and they defected, and they came to Yerushalayim. No one from Ephraim, but from Menashe, Zvulun, and Osher. Pasuk Yudbeis, Gam biYehuda hoisa Yad Elokim lo seis lam lev echad. In Yehuda, there was the Yad Elokim, meaning the influence of Hashem lo seis lam lev echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu inspired them la'asos mitzvas hamelech v'hasarim midvar Hashem, even though that in Yehuda also they were all sinners. During the time of Achaz, the people in Yehuda were all over there with the Zara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's influence penetrated the people of Yehuda to do tshuva. Pasuk Yigim v'yosu yushlam am rov la'asos eschak hamatzos b'chodesh hasheni kohol l'rov ma'od, a very great assembly. Pasuk Yidalid v'yakum v'yosu es hamizbuchos hasheb yushlam, they went and they took, pick up to the mizbuchos that were used for avodah zarah. V'yes kol ham katros, he see all the different altars that were used for ketores to offer incense to avodah zarah. They removed vayashlichu lenachal kidron vayishchatu haPesach. They stole the Pesach bi'arba osol lechodesh hashani vaKohenim vaHalavim nichlamu, and the Kohanim and the Levim, again the same word of nichlamu, they did tshuva. Nichlamu means, it's an unusual expression, it means they were embarrassed, and here it's meaning that they were embarrassed of their sins, and that inspired them to do tshuva. Vayiskach, they sanctified themselves. Vayoviu oilos beis Hashem, they brought oilos. Vayamdu al amdam kemishpatam, they stood in their positions according to the law. Kitzoras Moshe Elokim, and here's a very interesting pasuk. Hakoyhanim zorkim es hadam, the koyhanim did zrika. It doesn't just mean zrika, it means kabbalah, hailoch, and zrika. Miyad halevim, who was doing the shechita? The levim. But what's the obvious question on your mind? We know shechita kashera bizarre. L'chatchila, they would always only want Kohanim to do the Shechita. But if there were not enough Kohanim, who would do the Shechita? The Yisraelim. So why then here are the Levim doing the Shechita? The answer is because the Yisraelim were Tameim. Now that's going to be a major topic now, because one more pasuk, Ki Rabas Bakahol Asher Lo Hiskadoshu, because the people of the Yisraelim themselves, the owners, were not able to enter the Migdash because they were Tame. They were still Tame. So who could send who would do the Shechit on their behalf? The Levim. The HaLevim al Shechit HaSapsach L'chol Lo Tohar L'Hakdish LaHashem, to bring to Hashem. Okay, well, if we Yitchaz Kimar B'Sa'am, let's go through Kimar B'Sa'am, there were many people. Rabbas me Ephraim u'Menashe. So here it says that they were from Ephraim. Even though before it says that they were not from Ephraim, but here it says maybe they had a change of heart at a later point in time. Me Ephraim u'Menashe Yisachar u'Zvulun lo he tehoru. Many people from Yisrael would not tahor ki achlu. And here it goes on to say that there are different issues. A person is tamei and he sends a korban pesach. That's one problem. He's not. But what about eating a carbon Pesach in a state of tumah? That is a no-no. You're not allowed to do that. And here it says it didn't make a difference. The ate in a state of tumah. Ki lo tohed hi teharu ki achlu es a Pesach biloy chakosuf, like what's not permitted to be done in the Torah. According to, at least according to the Mitzvot and Rashi, they ate the carbon Pesach in the state of tumah.
How could they? On the carbon Pesach?
What?
They have to have someone who's going to eat it, right?
Not necessarily. If you become tummy after, if you shach the carbon Pesach with tahara, then you become tummy afterwards.
Right. Okay.
So you don't eat it. So it's burnt.
That wasn't this case.
In this case, they brought a lechatchila when they were tummy, which is shaloi kedin. Shaloi kedin, exactly.
Not only the eating, but even the bringing.
You're not. It's one thing you can't do the ma'aseh, but you're not allowed to send a representative to shach on your behalf if you're tummy. I can't be part of the chabura. Exactly. Right. If you are tummy, you cannot be part of the chabura. You have to go to the Pesach Sheni. It says over here, ki b'loi kakosuv enechlami. So in other words, this was this is a very controversial pasuk, a very controversial psak halacha from Chizkiyahu, and the way it leads to interpretation, ki hispalel yichizkiyahu aleihem, he prayed for them, leimar, Hashem hatoiv, Hashem who is good, yichaper ba'ad, may he forgive on your behalf. You've done a sin, you've offered and eaten a Karm Pesach in a state of tumah. Don't worry, I'm going to intercede, I'm going to get a special dispensation for you from Hashem that it's okay this one time. It's very bizarre. Hayroa Shah to bring a Karm Pesach.
When was he mispalled? Before they brought it?
It's not clear. Before or after, it's not clear. Look what it says, Ki Levavo Heichin, because he prepared his heart, Lidrash Olakim Hashem Lokav Yisav, to seek out Hashem, the God of his fathers, Veloy. But not according to the laws of the Kodesh, which must be Tohar, Tahar Sakodesh. In other words, let's see the Mitzvahs. There's a lot going on over here. Let's see the Mitzvahs.
Where were the Sanhedrin? Where were the Chachamim?
It appears here that there was no disagreement. This was the Harosha. He had some vision, prophecy, or maybe the Rabban themselves participated in this Harosha. It's a very tough shot. Let's go through quickly a few things. We're going out of time. Just a few short things in the Mitzvahs. Let's go back to Pasuk Yud. We're up to Pasuk Yud in the Mitzvah Yud Aleph. Uminasha umizvulon. They did come. Av shesachaku al haratzim. Even though they mocked the messengers, mikomok manasha mehem niknu vahu. There were individuals that were humbled and did come to Yerushalayim. Leiv echad ratzalemer haskam achas. One agreement. B'dvar Hashem. B'dvar shum tzashem. Hamikatrois. The people they cleansed. They cleansed the Yerushalayim from the mikatrois. Hamizbachos hasuyis lahakti b'chem la'avodus galulim es haketares nichlemu. The people were humbled. Al Masha Sheicharu Liskadesh Adhena Uvavuram Avru Hashana. They were embarrassed that they delayed in becoming Tahar, and because of them, that's why they needed to be Ma'abr the Shana. Vayavi Oilos Liratzois Lahashem Al Masha Sheicharu Liskadesh. The embarrassment, according to the Mitzudas, is that they delayed. They did not immediately listen to the call of Yechizkiyahu to mitar themselves. They were ashamed, and therefore, as a guilt offering, they offered oilos as a means of appeasing Hashem for their laziness. Vayamdu al amdam choizerhu al halavim lefisha mashakay hanim hayu zorikim es adam yad halavim lezam shal halavim amdu al makayim ma'amadam v'leilichu es adam. They did not do halacha. The mitzvah is pointing out that mikabala ve'elech mitzvah bekuhuna. So what? Who did the kabbalah and the halacha? Of course, the kohanim v'loy halichu es adam ki halacha lavoida yechashu. Hema zarim lavoida. They considered zarim for this avoida. V'zeh shamar ki mishpatam b'teras ma'ishe she'as leim ha'avoida mi'an alviim ki akohanim kiblu es adam v'halichu es al mizbech v'yeshivu ha'mizrochos al yidei alviim, and they returned the bowls to the alviim lios muchon l'zrika, to be prepared for zrika. So the kohanim alviim just assisted. And why didn't the Yisraelim do this part? They can do this. Ki rabba sakohol bo litin tamadu lo shachtu haba'olim atzim es pischehem. Why didn't the Yisraelim do the shechita? The Omar, ki rabim hayu nimtsam bohem asher lo iskachu v'lo huta lo v'lo azor v'lo deu t'meim. Ulezeh hayu halavim memunim al shechitas v'sem lishchon v'avur ki miyiz lo hayu. That's why we need the levim to do the shechita. Lahakdish lahashem ratzolem alatoz batzma is hakoida ha'egdish v'hu shechitas ha'pesach. The levim did the shechita. And because there were many people from Ephraim, rabbis from Ephraim, bo lefarish mi hayu marbis ha'am, v'amashem Ephraim, Menashe, Yisachar, and Zevulun. Ki Achlu, Asher doesn't say, a very good point, what happened to Asher doesn't say, only Yechidim, the thing, the Rabbas, the abundance. The majority were from the Yishvatim. Ki Achlu, Bolifarish, Ki Lo Yitaru, Aich, Achlu, Pesach. How could it be? How could it be that they ate, they were Tomei? V'yamar, Ki Be'em, Esachlus, Pesach, Baderech, Asher, Loi, Kain, Kasher, Kosa, Batara. Why? Here's a key word, see, these incredible chidus of the Mitzudas. Ki Hispalel. Ki ba'avur ha'avoyin hazed, due to the sin of eating it betumah, hispalu yichizkiyo aleyem v'yamar, Hashem ha'toiv, l'chol l'kol, Hashem is good l'kol to all, yichaper ba'ad ha'avoyin hazed, may he atone for this sin, v'mikro kotzar, move him elav, ba'al karchach, osu shaloi kohoigin, they have done improperly, ki lo hoya me'ev sholahamid acherim b'mekoymam, he could not send other people in their place. Ki ein haPesach nechol el leminuyov, avol bedavar bias. So that he had no choice. Eating, you can't send a representative. You have to eat the carbon Pesach yourself. So that he could not hold them back. They ate in a state of tuma. But the very least he did, Yechizkiyahu, was he prevented the Yisraelim who were tumeim from entering the Beis Hamikdash, and he only allowed representatives who were tahorim, the Levim, to bring the shechita. Al bedvar bias hazor lishchet b'schem hoil v'hoy efshe b'Levim lo bo b'tumas b'tuma le'ozrei ki b'chol levava kol levava hechin al Yechizkiyahu chayzer v'loy ketaras hakodesh v'im שאל ידי נחלו הפסחים בלוי תהרו הרוי לקודש מכל מוקם החונס לבובוי חויסל השם. He meant well. Okay, now that's not such a good thing to say today. Today that borders on conservative Judaism and reform.
That's,
he meant well. As long as you mean well, you can do whatever you want. That's what's going on over here.
The Mitzvahs, when he said before that
the Yisraelim, they did the Shechita.
Right, but they could have also had a Levi be a Shechita to every Chabura.
To eat?
Yeah.
How much could a Levi eat already?
No, they had enough Levim that each Levi took Shechita and he joined the Chabura, so he was...
But there was not enough Levim to eat all the Pesachim, that's obvious. There was an enormous...
They ate the Pesach, and that
They ate the carbon Pesach and they offered it. They offered it in the state of Tumah. So the only thing he could do to hold them back was to prevent them from coming in Zazar. But eating, that he could, from offering, that he was not able to, he was overwhelmed. He was. It seems like they was overwhelmed. And how did he allow?
He got excited about his notice.
How was he allowed to do this? So it's a shocking thing. It says here it was Choyro Asha Hoysa. This was Choyro Asha, a special dispensation. Even though everyone is Tameh, you can bring the carbon Pesach in the state of Tumah, even though it's Shaloi Kedin. That's what the pasuk says. What about the concept of tumah hutra b'tzibur? You didn't have all the conditions. There are more conditions that must be met to be tumah hutra b'tzibur. Those conditions were not met. We'll discuss maybe next time. Were not met. There's just one more point. They have to do the Rashi. We'll leave the Rashi for tomorrow. But there's one point I want to mention now. Very interesting idea I came across when it says here that they celebrated. It says they celebrated Chag Hamatzos. Okay, let me find, go back to the pasuk. Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayosvu Yerushalayim Am Rav Laasos Eschag Hamatzos Bachodesh Hasheni Kehol Lorov Meot. What about matzah? Chag Hamatzos.
Yes.
The whole issue was Pesach.
One day,
Chag Hamatzos is 7 days. But what? There's a discrepancy. The whole focus, the whole point was he sent letters. Perfect. Everyone should come to bring the carbon Pesach. Okay, al matzos umerorim yochlu. Of course, it's Pesach. So on Pesach, you have to have matzah, and it's a 7-day holiday. But that was not the focus. The focus here was to bring the carbon Pesach. Yud Gimel. Pasuk Yud Gimel, it says here, they send, go back to Pasuk Yud Yud, they send Ratzim, the Ratzim, they send from place to place and they're begging them to come, and they laughed at them. All the letters, going back to the whole parak that we learned today, all the letters were trying to persuade it to come, Pesach, there's no mention of matzah. There's no mention of matzah. The purpose, like we said, is a korban. Mishchu yideicha min avodah zara u'shachtu ha-pesach. It's a new bris with Hashem. And what happens after everything is said and done? It says, "Gam biyichud uchayis yad alukim lo ases lam levechol lasoyis mitzmeluch v'asom yad Hashem v'yosu yushlam amrof lasos chak hamatzos." It should say they came together to bring the carbon Pesach.
They were far away from it. They didn't. 40 years they were mockers. So
and then
the whole publicity to come for carbon
Pesach.
When they came already to Yerushalayim, there was matzahs. They were giving out matzahs in the street. Lubavitcher shlichim was standing with the matzahs.
So what's going on? And then Pasuk Tesvav says, "Vayishchatu haPesach," and they brought the Pesach. But the matzah doesn't fit in the theme.
That's the official name of the regal.
Okay, so you want to say al derech pshat that it's not a kasha? We're dealing with Pesach and matzah, and the Torah it says that there's a very popular vart. In the Torah, it's called Chag HaMatzos. When was the last time you ever heard someone say, "I'm going to a hotel for Chag HaMatzos"?
It's only the actual terminology of calling it Pesach nowadays, as we do, is only a few hundred years old.
Rabbanon. It's
all the Rishonim call it
Chag HaMatzos.
Everything. They never said Pesach is one day. What we call Erev Pesach.
It's one day. Pesach. Okay.
The rest is Chag HaMatzos.
But in the Gemara, How does the Gemara refer to the Yom Tov of Pesach? In the Gemara. I'm not sure. There's a famous Vart, it's a Hasidic Vart, is that the Torah calls it Chag HaMatzos. Because the Torah wants to give, Hashem loves Klal Yisrael, and wants to give Klal Yisrael credit for the Yom Tov. What's the credit? They didn't delay. They ran, they left Mitzrayim, and what does the Pasuk say? We did not allow our dough to rise. We quickly left. Hashem wants to give us the credit that we quickly left Mitzrayim. We escaped. But Klal Yisrael, when we look at the Yom Tov, we call it Pesach to give credit to Hashem that Hashem saved us. Hashem was Pesach al HaPesach. The matzah has a connotation. It's us. We left. We left very quickly.
The connotation is freedom.
Freedom. Our freedom. So Hashem says, "I'm giving you freedom." When we've Pesach, it focuses more on Hashem did. Hashem was Pesach ala Pesach, He saved us. Okay, that's the word. Now, that word somehow can be tied into this idea, into these sukkim. But what it means here, according to what I've seen, is that Yechizkiyo tried in a very short period of time to inspire Klal Yisrael to reach a very high level of Kedusha. And that high level is captured in the Karban Pesach. The people did not reach that level. They fell short. They only came to the level of Matzah. Min Chag HaMatzos, which does not involve the full rejection of Avodah Zarah. It represents the theme of the holiday, but it doesn't represent the goal of the holiday. Holiday has many parts. There's Pesach and Matzah. Pesach, Matzah, Mora. Three things which are deraisa. Pesach represents Gilush, represents Pesach Hashem ala Pesach, whatever it represents, and rejection of Avodah Zarah. And Matzah, another way, Matzah represents Gilush. Matzah represents more of the positive. Pesach represents more of the rejection of the negative. Sur Meira. And Matzah is Asei Tov. Mi Shloi Omar Shloi Shadvarm Eilu B'Pesach Lo Yotzi Deichavasa V'Eilu In Pesach Matzah Mar Pesach Al Shoma Al Shom ShePesach Hashem Al Bote Ibn Yisrael Hashem passed over our houses and saved us and wiped out the Egyptians. Matzah Al Shoma Al Shloi Hispiku Eschemsam Es Bitzekom Hachmitz Ad Shehigle Aleihem Melech Malchei Amlochem Ugalom. Matzah represents Gilui Shechina. It represents something very spiritual. It represents, Pesach means just salvation. Hashem saved us. Matzah represents something different. Now, there are different ways you can spin the Vart. I'm really going in the wrong direction for what I'm trying to say. But let's focus on, on one level of interpretation. Okay, there are many layers, but in one layer of interpretation, Pesach is Sur Meira, reject the idol of Egypt, and Matzah represents, come with me, follow me, get out of here. Let's go to the Midbar, let's go to Eretz Yisrael, let's escape. It is Asei Tov. Chizkiyahu wanted to them to get rid of the Avodah Zarah. That was the primary focus of his time. He's coming from Ochos. Ochos wasn't Oyvi Avodah Zarah, it was a Rasha. Klal Yisrael were heavily steeped in Avodah Zarah. Get rid of the Avodah Zarah. The people couldn't give it up. They couldn't give it up. It was just too hard. They were still attached. Okay, on the outside, on the surface, they'll clean out the Beis Hamikdash, they'll clean up the Avodah Zarah, but in their neshamas, they were still connected to Avodah Zarah. The best, what he had succeeded, at least, is inspiring them, at least, of Matzah Aseh Tov. We'll try to embrace some Yiddishkeit, and maybe in the process of Aseh Tov, the Ra will eventually dissipate and turn away. That's the approach we have in today. The approach today is work on the positive, and then the negative comes later. What comes first? Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. First comes Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is Aseh Tov. Then comes Yom Kippur, is doing tshuva for the sins of the past. So Chizkiyahu wanted Pesach. I want you to get rid of the Ra. Klal Yisrael could not reach that level. They only were able to come to the level of Achag HaMatzos, which appears to be a lower level of the ultimate goal. Okay, this is an idea which the Mepharshim play around with, but it's an interesting point. You can probably say your own ideas where this idea is thrown right in the middle when it's not really the focus of what Chizkiyahu is trying to accomplish here.